Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing all right today. And welcome to the Zurian Show. I want to say, one, thank you very much for listening to the show. You guys have definitely blessed us by listening and listening regularly. Our numbers have grown substantially, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm very happy that, you know, the message that we are sharing and that I'm sharing with you guys is being so well received. I am definitely humbled by all of the attention and all of the people that are actually listening to the show, and, you know, the feedback that I'm getting, and all of it so far has been positive. I'm sure there's going to be some negative, but let's not talk that up. Let's continue with the positive. So for all of the listeners of the Zurian Show, again, I want to thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, today the topic of the show is going to be quite interesting, and it was kind of a last-minute topic. And the reason that it was a last-minute topic is because I don't know if any of you heard it or not, but today in Washington, D.C., on August 23rd, 2011, the D.C. metropolitan area, or the DMV as we like to call it, had an earthquake. Basically, it was the largest Virginia earthquake in more than a century, and it shook the Washington, D.C. region. It was about at 1:50 p.m., so around lunchtime, you know, Tuesday, which is today, and it rocked the actual building that I'm actually sitting in. It rocked the building. I mean, the walls shook, things fell off the cabinets. It was definitely an interesting display of Mother Nature showing us that she's no joke. According to the United States Geological Survey, the earthquake registered at actually a 5.8 magnitude, and it took place within about a 3.7 mile area. Excuse me, it was felt, but it basically happened about 3.7 miles below the surface of the earth. And it went 9 miles from basically the D.C. metro area to a place called Minel, Virginia, which is 90 miles southwest of D.C. It lasted about 30 to 40 seconds, according to the Geological Society or Geological Association or Surveys Association. And it was felt, you know, up and down the East Coast. They were saying that they felt the shake itself almost as far as Manhattan. It was definitely a very humbling experience. As I said, Washington, D.C. was definitely humbled today by Mother Nature. And the reason for the show today is that the earthquake was one thing, but it was a clear demonstration that, one, we as people are an insignificant thing compared to the earth as a whole. And when I say an insignificant thing, I mean it's been here for millions upon millions of years, and we have been here but, you know, the blink of an eye if you look at it in real life terms. But anyway, one of the other things I wanted to talk about is preparedness. You know, on several of the shows we've talked about your financial preparedness. We've talked about your ability to defend yourself from harm. You know, we've talked about health and, you know, trying to get yourself healthy so that you can live a long and prosperous life. But what I found during this earthquake is that most people's flight and fear, or fear and flight mechanism, definitely kick in when there's something like a major catastrophe, like an air, like, you know, like an earthquake. And don't get me wrong, this definitely moved the walls and shook some stuff. You know, there's a whole bunch of different newscasts out right now about people that were at the National Cathedral when this happened and how the walls shook and all of that. But people, let's please keep it in mind. Supposedly, there was little to no damage done from this earthquake, and this was a 5.8. There are people that have lived through some earthquakes that have basically taken houses up from underneath them. The earthquake that started the tsunami in Japan, I mean, those people, there were boats, huge boats on top of houses. That's how high that water rose from that tsunami that destroyed Japan and caused that nuclear reactor to be damaged and for all that damage to be done. So earthquakes as a whole are definitely a scary thing. I mean, let's be honest. Where do you hide when the earth is shaking? And if you're in a place where you don't have to worry about the earth, is where you land going to be where it, what it's supposed to be when you get there? But again, in reality, DC, this earthquake was nothing. The major things are we didn't lose any life. We didn't really lose any property. However, many, many of us lost our minds. Many of us threw common sense through the window, out the door, into the water, out on the street, all of the above. I was sitting in my office when the earthquake struck. And I'm actually going upstairs because I have a large number of employees in the building. And when I went to open up the stairway to go to the to go down the stairs, I noticed people running down the stairs. I'm going up the stairs, making sure that the people that could be, you know, maybe not able to take the stairs or injured or stuff like that are actually out the building, because everybody ran for the hills. And I'm yelling as I go up the stairs, walk, don't run, because you got some people that can't maneuver the stairway like others can. You got some people trying to jump down the stairs. There was no windows broken. There was no walls cracking. There was none of the things to bring on that type of pattern, that type of excitement, that type of fear, that type of hysteria that was going on when this particular earthquake came about. So I go upstairs and I check around and everybody's off. The top floor, the next floor, the floor after that, the floor after that, and the floor after that. So then I walk out the building. You know, I go to the emergency people or the floor marshals, and I say, okay, we need a count for all of the people that are supposed to be in the building. We need to make sure that we've got everybody and that I didn't miss anybody, but even though I walked through the building. And everybody's looking at me with these, you know, deer in the headlight looks, because they're not sure who was supposed to leave the building or if everybody got out the building. Hence me walking back through the building during the quake to try to remove people. Not saying that that's the smartest thing either, but when everybody else loses their head, the person that keeps theirs usually may be able to save someone else's life. And in this case, I think my going upstairs and not leaving the building in a mad rush as the people were when I was yelling, stop running, walk, exit the building, step away from the building, step away from the buildings next to the other buildings that, you know, you didn't evacuate out of, but that they can fall. Get away from where there's glass. Get away from trees. Get away from power lines. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an earthquake. Where do you go when the ground is shaking? Well, anyway, I understand that people don't know what to do. And I understand that no matter how many times you may tell them what to do, they forget. But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to all get a plan, not just for fire, not just for earthquakes. We need to get a plan for our homes. If somebody is at home, I had one gentleman that wanted to come back in the building because he ran out the building so fast, he left his cell phone. But he's telling me his kids are home alone. How old his kids are, I have no idea. I'm not even going to get into that. But this man ran out of the office without his cell phone and then was requesting to re-enter a building that could possibly not be safe after everyone was safely out of it to get his cell phone. I explained to the gentleman that I understand that you want your cell phone. However, there's nobody that you're going to be able to call because all of the lines are busy. All of the lines are presently occupied, and your chances of probably getting your phone are probably nil to none. Excuse me, getting through to anybody on the phone. And from what I understand, in the metropolitan, the D.C. metro area, the only way that you could communicate with anybody on your cell phones was if you text. because for the most part, voice seemed to be down for just about everybody. So ladies and gentlemen, all I'm saying to you is that we need to have a plan. We need to know how we're going to get in contact with certain people. We need to have a rendezvous set up. There's a whole bunch of different things that we need to do, because even though this was not a major catastrophe, again, there was no loss of life, there was no loss of property, any of those things. I don't even think really any place lost power. What are you going to do when you actually have an actual emergency? What are you going to do when you find yourself that you can't get in touch with your wife or your husband or whatever because of the fact that the phone lines are down, because of the fact that, you know, the computers are out or you don't have power or any of those things? For our own state of mind, for our own state of being, we need to come up with a plan. And ladies and gentlemen, FEMA has a plan for you. They have procedures, policies, all of these different things that you can use to protect yourself and your family in the case of something like what happened in the Washington, D.C. metro area today, which was an earthquake. However, we need to take time to look at these things. I'm constantly saying watching Oprah is not going to help you. Oprah has got everything that she needs to have. All right, we need to take some protective measures before an earthquake. All right, this is really about what I've seen people do today. But we're going to give you this information up front and short and up front so that you'll have it. And again, go to FEMA. Go to the FEMA website, and there's a whole thing there on what to do in the case of an emergency. Not just a fire. Not just, you know, chemical spill or a hazmat thing. You know, these are different things that you need to understand. One of the things that you need to understand is terms. Earthquake. An earthquake is a sudden slippage or movement of portions of the Earth's crust, accompanied by the following series of vibrations. That's what an earthquake is, ladies and gentlemen. Aftershock. An aftershock is earthquakes or similar or less intense, but they're like an earthquake, but they're less intense, and they usually follow after a main earthquake. Fault. A fault across which a displacement has occurred during an earthquake. That's what it is. It's the slippage that may range from less than an inch or more than 10 yards. That would be a severe earthquake. Again, the earthquake that was in the Washington, D.C. metro area was a 5.8. Okay, but that's a fault. Epicenter. Epicenter is the place that the earthquake was when it hit. All right, it was the surface directly above the point of the fault where the earthquake or tremors began. Once a fault slips begins and it starts to expand along the fault during an earthquake, it can extend for hundreds of miles before it stops. All right, seismic. Seismic is basically the vibration or the travel of the vibration during the earthquake. All right, the fault and speed of several miles per second. All right, but that's basically what a seismic thing is. It's called a seismic wave for anybody that wants the whole thing. And then you have the magnitude. The magnitude is the amount of energy that is released during an earthquake, in which computing with the earthquake from the aperture of the seismic wave. So, depending on what type of earthquake it is, that's what gives you the wave. All right, there are a lot of things that are more powerful than a 5, all right, and those things are 7s, 6, and so on, all right. The whole number or scale, which is used to represent the increase of about 30 times that of the Earth's relief of previous or whole numbers presented. Therefore, an earthquake measuring a 6.0 is about 30 times more powerful than a 5.0. So a 6 is 30 times more powerful than a 5.0. This just happened to be a 5.8, 5.9, depending on who you ask. Protective measures. Protective measures are some of the things that we need to do to make sure that we're prepared so that if an earthquake was to occur, we'd be okay. All right? You want to take protective measures before an earthquake. The following are things that you can do to protect yourself, your family, your property in the event of an earthquake. repair defective electrical wires, leaky gas lines, inflexible utility connections, and get the appropriate professionals help to do these things, you know, as far as work on gas lines or electrical lines themselves, all right? Bolt down and secure any walls or studs, you know, like perfect example, on the walls or studs. Let's say you've got an electrical, a heater in your house. You need to bolt it down so that it doesn't move. Refrigerators, furnaces, gas appliances. You know, it's recommended that all gas companies come in and check it and make sure that you shut it off or that you also have a shutoff valve. By most places, by code, you're going to have that. Okay, placing large items in places where they won't move. That's another thing that you need to be careful of. You know, because in an earthquake, everything's moving. Everything's moving. You need to make sure that things aren't going to move on you. You need to make sure that everything is going to stay in its place where it's supposed to be. All right, do not try to lift heavy objects or move heavy objects. You also don't want things too heavy on the wall or to be close to anything that's too heavy on the wall or braced up high, okay? Storage of bottles, food, gas, china, breakables. You want things like that on lower shelves, and you want the shelves fastened so that they don't just fall off. Anchor overweight things like overhead lights and light fixtures. Make sure that they're anchored in so they don't just collapse. If you just got a nail holding something up, it may not hold. It may fall if it's not actually affixed to anything. You want to install flexible pipes and fittings to avoid gas leaks, water leaks, and things like that. Flexible fittings are more resistant to breakage because they'll move. Okay, all right, during an earthquake, you want to make sure that you locate a safe spot. You want to have that spot in advance, a place where you can go that's sturdy, be it either inside or outside. If it's going to be inside, you need to have a place that's reinforced. So if anything moves, you know, it's not going to collapse on you. It's something that can take the weight or the pressure of whatever falls. So you want to locate a safe spot. And you want to do drills. You want to practice this. All right, hold earthquake drills for you, your family, and your members. Drop, cover, and hold on. All right, an earthquake will pass. It's not going to last forever. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can get through this. All right, during an earthquake, you want to find cover. You want to take cover under a sturdy desk, a table, bench, whatever it is that you need to get under if things are falling around you and you cannot get out the building. Okay, you want to stay away from glass or windows during an earthquake. If you're outside, you also want to stay away from glass or windows, light fixtures, things of that nature. All right? If you're in the bed, all right, stay in bed. If there is an earthquake and it happens and you can't get up, stay put, all right, until you can hold on and protect your head with a pillow, you know, or whatever, something like a light or anything like that may fall on you, all right? Use a doorway for shelter. You can use a doorway for shelter. A doorway's got a frame around it. That frame is kind of sturdy because those sections reinforce each other. It might be a strong way to provide, you know, shelter for you during an earthquake, all right? Again, stay inside until the shaking stops. Then once the shaking stops, you can go outside. Most injuries occur during an earthquake by people being hit by falling objects. So you don't want to try to go outside or go through something if there's stuff actually falling around you. You may not make it. Or like I was saying before, you've got people running downstairs. Well, if they run downstairs and somebody falls, that causes a bowling effect or a domino effect and people get hurt. Be aware of any electrical areas or sprinkler systems or fire alarms that may be turned on. All right, you must do all of this safely. Also, do not use an elevator. A lot of elevators are automatically geared to go down. Some will shut off. If you're outside. Stay away from buildings. Stay away from streetlights. Stay away from utility wires. If you're in a moving vehicle, find a safe place and park that vehicle. All right? You want to avoid going under bridges or by buildings or overpasses or anything like that. All right? Do not light a match if you're in an area. If you've got a gas leak, that gas leak could actually cause an explosion if you light a match because you're so nervous you have to have a cigarette. You need to proceed with caution. Get out of the building if you're in a building once it stops because that building may not be safe. And then before entering it, you want a professional look at it. That may not be the case. Remember, too, during an emergency, everybody and their mother is freaking out. Everybody and their father is freaking out. Most phone lines aren't going to be up, especially if you're looking at a cell phone. The majority of communications that people use today are cell phones. Those lines will probably be busy, and they will probably be down. Okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, these are the things that you need to look at if you're going to have an earthquake and if something's going to happen to make yourself safe. All right? We need to be prepared, and also you need to be prepared for the aftershock. Now, let's talk about the fools. Or not fools, but the people out there that are not acting wisely during an event like this. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's an earthquake, you leaving early is only going to put you in the middle of a traffic jam. In the D.C. metro area, people are let out on a kind of like a shift schedule as far as the government. The majority of D.C. is a lot of contracts and contractors. That means that if the government shuts down, everybody is getting out at the same time. There is no stagger. All you are rushing to is a traffic jam. Other people, if you know nothing about earthquakes, if you have no knowledge of any real use to share with anybody, please do not share stories about your cousin or what you read in some tsunami story or what have you. Let people that know what they're talking about do what they need to do. Do not cause a ruckus. Do not start more damage than is necessary. Do not become a building inspector. You are not certified. You do not have the paperwork. You're also not probably a supervisor or a person of authority at your company. If you do not feel comfortable, go home. All right? The earthquake that we had today happened at 1:50. People left their jobs today at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Traffic in the Washington, D.C. area is still backed up. It is almost, it's after 6 o'clock now. That traffic is going to be insane for a long time. Why? Because everybody's trying to get home to something that they cannot change, cannot adjust, none of the above. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, we just want you to be safe, but we want you to be of service, not in the way. Right now, somebody may pass away because traffic is blocked up and fire trucks can't get through or emergency services people can't do their job. Right now, the police are being totally inundated by phone calls from people that are asking questions that they could look up on their internet. To the best of my knowledge, nobody's power's down. They can listen to their radios. They can do a whole bunch of things. Speaking of radios, who's got a battery-operated radio nowadays? Almost nobody. Who's got a phone that isn't a cell phone where you can call somebody? Almost nobody. Who's got water in their house that's just sitting for an emergency? Who's got food in their house that's just sitting for an emergency? Who's actually got an emergency plan? I bet you 95% of you do not, and 95% of you need to get one. All right? I actually have walkie-talkies that my kids have. All right? They're at the house. You know, and one's here. And there's always batteries in it. As long as I don't exceed the distance, I can talk to them. You people that forgot that you have a cell phone that has text, guess what? In the Washington, D.C. metro area, text worked. Cell phones didn't as far as talk, probably because all of the circuits were busy. But the wireless text messaging part of it probably would have worked for most of you if you'd have calmed down for a moment to do what you need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be safe, but also losing your mind is not going to help you be safe. It's actually going to put you at more risk. It's actually going to put you in a position where you're less likely to be of any service to anybody, including yourself. Again, people acted a fool today. And I'm really sorry to say it, but you guys really need to get a grip. We all need to get a grip, and part of getting a grip is having a plan. Part of getting a grip is knowing what to do when you have something like this. All right, after a tsunami or after an earthquake, you need to be prepared for the aftershock. These are the secondary shocks that usually happen. They are less violent, but they can be strong enough to add to the damage of what's ever happened to the structure. Open cabinets or doors. You need to be careful. When you open up something, if it has shifted, it could fall out. You need to stay away from damaged areas. If you are not going to be part of the solution, you will be part of the problem. If you are directed another way, then you need to find another way. If that other way takes you hours out of your normal area, you need to listen to the police or emergency services people so that they can direct you in the safest way to get where you need to get. Is it going to be an inconvenience? Yes, but which would you rather be, an inconvenience or dead? Okay? Beware of the possibility, if you live on any coastal areas, of a tsunami. A seismic area can happen in the water, and that could cause tidal waves, flooding, and things like that to happen. I'm going to say this again. FEMA has all of the information that you need to look at, and you should look at it. All right? Knowledge to check. All right? These are things that you need to know to make sure that you're okay at your house. At your house, stay inside. Go out to the street after it stops. If you're in your bed, stay in the bed. Stay away from windows and things like that. Put a pillow over your head. Leave the structure after that. If you're in a building, stay in the doorway. Crouch inside a corner away from the exterior walls. Do not take the elevator. Stay away from the elevator. All right, if you're on the elevator, take it to the ground floor as quickly as possible. Most are automatically set up in an emergency to go to the ground floor, but you do not want to be stuck in an elevator. All right, in 9/11, there were people that were stuck in the elevator. It was an emergency feature. It didn't work for them. Some people got out, some didn't. All right, stay in an interior room or underneath a desk or a table until the earthquake stops. If you're outside, all right, run away from the nearest building. All right, stay outside, away from any buildings, electrical areas. If you're in a car, stop the car in an open area. Do not stop the car under any overpasses. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be safe. I want you to listen to my show forever, and I want you to be here forever. There are people that love you and people that care. Again, if you are not going to be of service, please get out of the way. And you people that lost your minds today, understand that you're not only putting the people that were out there with you at risk, you're also putting yourself at risk. So let's use our brains, let's think smartly, and let's do the things that we need to do so that we can all get home safely. Again, D.C., I hope everybody's fine. D.C. metro area, I hope everybody's fine. I know my family's fine, but we had a plan. Thank you, everybody, for your time and your patience, and I appreciate you all listening to The Zurian Show. Please forward our links to as many people as you feel would like and enjoy the show, and please continue to listen, because we appreciate you. Today is now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get our lives together, let's get ourselves together, let's continue to grow, and let's never stop learning, because once we stop learning, we start dying. With that, thank you very much. And for anybody that's listening to the show today, if you get a chance, I'd like you to dial Zurian, Z-U-R-R-I-A-N-E. Again, that's Zurian, Z-U-R-R-I-A-N-E, 2, text it, 90210. So Zurian 2, 90210, just like on the old TV show. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a great day. Take care.